Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD's ongoing coverage of the 2019-2020 preseason. This is our preview of the American Athletic Conference. We are actually recording four previews today on October 28th. David, if they want to watch the others, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, or the West Coast?
It's down there. You can see them down there. And and you got it right, Chad. No one is covering the preseason quite like us.
Well, the preseason,
and we are all over it.
I tell you, one of the great things about tonight is we are actually recording all four of these podcasts at the same time. So you can hit play on all four at the same time.
Yeah.
And watch four simultaneously.
Watch four at the same time. Same audio, same. I mean, it's like I watch multiple games at the same time. You can watch multiple podcasts at the same time.
We forgive. We apologize in advance when you get to hear East Carolina and Fordham at the same time.
We're not going to be spending. Yeah, they will be announced at about the same time.
I'm Chad Schroed, by the way. David Griggs to my side, John Slica, and John Titel as well, joining us for tonight's podcast. And we are going to start off with the American this evening. And David, this is the home of the national champions last year, at least according to the CBI, correct?
South
Florida?
No.
No.
Let's
actually start off with the biggest the team that made the biggest news in this conference offseason. John Titel, let me bring you in here. Memphis had Penny Hardaway had a hell of a recruiting year, from what I've heard.
You heard right. In addition to the possible number one overall pick in James Wiseman, he brings in another McDonald's All-American in Precious Achiuwa. I think that these guys will be great and instant contributors and all that good stuff. I'm not ready to put them like in the Elite Eight or anything right now, but they're starting the season in the top 25 rankings. So obviously the nation thinks highly of them. If they can have the freshmen make a very quick adjustment, I think they'll be fine. The one obstacle is the youth on this team. Their main two returning veterans are a pair of sophomore guards in Tyler Harris and Alex Lomax, so I don't know if there's a lot of veteran leadership there. Additionally, the non-conference schedule looks frankly pretty brutal. Oregon, Mississippi, NC State, Tennessee, Georgia. These guys are going to be put in the fire very quickly, and I wish them all the best.
Well, and I think that's actually – philosophically, there's two different ways to do it. One is to ease them into it, and the other is to throw them into the fire. Because the idea is, how do you get them to improve the most throughout the course of the year and be ready to play in the postseason? A lot of the teams in this conference, while some of them are good, are not as good as the teams that they'll be playing out of conference. So I kind of like that they're jumping into the fire like that with a young team.
Well, Salika, let me ask you this. The big question I always have with a team this young is, how quickly will they gel? Because you could have a complete disaster of a team just because you have incredible talent, but you've got five players playing their own game and not a team sport going on out there.
Well, what I look at is, who are they going to be playing in the first month? The only real landmine is going to be their game against Oregon, but they also have a rivalry that doesn't get a lot of national attention, and that's the rivalry with Ole Miss. We usually talk about the rivalry with Tennessee, but they're a lot closer to Oxford, Mississippi than they are to Knoxville, Tennessee. But other than that, once you get beyond November, they'll still have games at Tennessee and at UAB, but they'll also have a game against Georgia prior to conference play in the American.
Well, okay, Titella, let me go back to you then on the question here of, can this team, can Penny get these young guys to gel together and win an American Conference championship, regular season at least, or do you see this just kind of being a train wreck of five potential of, you know, a whole group of guys that could end up going to the lottery?
I'm leaning, I'll take the middle road if possible, because I don't, when you say train wreck, I mean, this is a team that was not terrible last year. They won 22 games. So I don't think they're going to be like a 500 team. That being said, they're playing in a very difficult conference with tournaments, top eight seeds like Houston, Cincinnati. So I don't think that they're going to go like 30-5 and like win the conference by three games. So I'll take the happy medium.
So do you think they win the conference at all?
I don't. I mean, if these guys are like lottery picks and are averaging double doubles at 18-year-olds, then yeah, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, David, let me ask you. We had a team in Houston that made it to the Sweet 16 last year. Is that their biggest competition in the conference, do you think?
In my opinion, it is, and that's my pick to win the conference. I realize that Houston lost a lot of those pieces, but we've said this before. Nobody was really excited about Houston coming into the season last year. I think the most that we got out of last year's preseason podcast is that maybe they're a tournament team. They do have two starters back, and they also have some big-time transfers that are going to be able to play right away. Kelvin Sampson has done a fantastic job with this program. I'm surprised he hasn't gotten a little more respect and credit for the job that he's done. And I just think that, once again, they're going to be really good. And as good as they've been and as good as we know that they are, I think that they might be even better than what we've realized over the last 2 years. 2 years ago, they won a lot of games, and then they had they were knocked out in the round of 32 by the eventual national runners-up in a game that they actually kind of blew. They played great and then blew it. And then last year, they were right in there with less than a minute to go. They were still in a position to beat Kentucky and go to the Elite Eight. And this followed seasons of 25, 26, like winning a lot of games. I like this Houston team. It's not that I don't like Memphis. It's just that I like Houston more.
I do take exception with one thing you said, and that's, why doesn't Kelvin Sampson get more respect? Arkansas was making a hard push for him in the offseason, but the best thing that happened to Houston was Kelvin Sampson decided to stay in Houston and actually keep the Cougars on board.
Yeah.
Titel, do you agree with that then? I mean, Davis is gone, Brooks is gone. There's a lot of scoring gone from that team that made the Sweet 16 last year.
Yes, I think the cupboard is a little bare, so I think they'll come back down to earth a little bit. That being said, the reason people like Kelvin Sampson is because he wins in college. He's been to 16 NCAA tourneys. He brings back Giroux. He's got Grimes coming in and eligible. And Grimes is not just like an average transfer. He was a 2018 McDonald's All-American. He scored 15 in the NCAA tournament, lost to Auburn last March. These guys can play, and I think that even with a tough non-conference schedule, that they have to be looked at as the favorite.
Well, Stalika, you are in the Cincinnati area, although you're not exactly a Cincinnati fan, being a Xavier guy. But
not wearing Cincinnati gear, I might add.
Mick Cronin is gone. We have a new head coach there, but Cumberland decides to come back. So how about the Bearcats this year?
Well, it was kind of a mixed bag once they announced that John Brannan was going to cross the river to come over to Cincinnati. Yes, they'll have Jerron Cumberland. Yes, his cousin Jevon Cumberland is coming over from Oakland. There were a few guys that did transfer out. One was Nysir Brooks, who's going to Miami. Another was Logan Johnson that we'll get to later when we discuss St. Mary's. Some other key guys that are going to be coming back for the Bearcats are going to be Trevor Moore, Trey Scott, and Keith Williams. But I've alluded to this off the air in the past. I actually like Cincinnati's schedule, at least as far as trying to develop a young team. They should be one of the favorites in the Paradise Jam, especially with Illinois State, Bowling Green, and Western Kentucky on their side of the bracket. They're opening the season at Ohio State. They're finishing off a home-and-home with UNLV, and besides the crosstown shootout at Xavier, they will also have games against Tennessee and Iowa to get ready for the American this year.
And home game against a dangerous Vermont team too, but go ahead.
Yeah, David. Good point. Well, John Brannan has done an excellent job at NKU, Northern Kentucky. We've followed his career, and I think if you've been watching Under the Radar, you know what we think of him and how he basically turned a transitional team into a regular perennial conference front runner. But again, sometimes when you go from the Horizon League up to a multi-bid league and you're playing top 20 and top 40 teams on a more regular basis, it's kind of an adjustment for the coach. We think he can coach, but is there going to be a transitional period for him at all, as good as we think he is?
But the other question I'm really going to be curious to see how Brannan approaches, is he going to be defense first like Cronin and Huggins and some extent Tony Yates? Because this could be the first time in literally a generation and a half that we could be seeing an offensive first Bearcats team.
That is another good point, Stalica. Like, the style of play that he is used to is not what Cincinnati was running under Cronin, and that could be an adjustment period too. But I have more questions than answers. If I had to guess, I like the Cincinnati team. They're the team that I think is a top three team in the conference. I think that they'll get back to the NCAA tournament. But you do have to kind of question some of these transitional period that they're going to go through, like some of these transitions that they're going through, don't you?
Tytel, let me ask you about another team, though. I mentioned at the top of the top here that we do have a defending national champion, at least from the CBI in this conference, that's bringing everybody back. How about the Bulls? How about Brian Gregory's South Florida team?
I am bullish on the Bulls, as you would imagine. Thank you. Coach Brian Gregory is your defending national CBI champ, beating DePaul in the title series win. He's got a winning legacy. It wasn't just a one-time thing. 2010, he was coach at Dayton. He won the NIT. 10 years before that, assistant to Tom Izzo when the Spartans won the title in 2000, the NCAA title. He wins everything he's in the postseason. Very nice pieces to his puzzle. At the point, LaQuincy Rideau is the defending conference defensive player of the year. At the shooting guard spot, David Collins, the defending CBI MVP. At the power forward spot, Alexis Yetna, the defending conference rookie of the year. He's got great players all over the court. He doesn't have to depend on one guy. And the non-conference schedule looks pretty easy to me. Florida State will be very tough. BC is winnable. Other than that, this team could be like one or two loss team entering conference play. I think they're going to make the tournament, but obviously it's very early.
But really? Could that strength of schedule bite them in the butt too at the end of the day?
If they lose, they will. If they're 11-1 entering non-conference play, then you never know.
11-1 against nothing, though.
Better than 1-11 against them, right?
I guess. All right. Yeah, the power of wins over Arkansas, Pine Bluff, IUPUI, and Dartmouth. Sure.
That is a big
Utah
declaration.
State and Florida State is all they're really going to have their hat to hang on.
Right. That is a big declaration. I wasn't even – I mean, as excited as I am because I think they're much improved, I was thinking maybe an NIT team. You really think they can get into the big dance? You like them that much?
I do. It will take beating teams like Houston and Cincinnati, not sweeping them, but like you got to beat them at home, and you got to get a lot of help by having some major conference teams fall back to earth. You got to hope Memphis is not like an Elite Eight team. So it's certainly a sleeper pick, but I like that they have all these guys with experience who did succeed, with a smart coach who can win in the postseason. It's a stretch, but it's my stretch of the night.
Okay, there is another team I like in this conference.
Go ahead, David.
I don't know. I'm curious to know if it's the next one you had on your list.
Well, David, my next one on the list is whatever team you want to discuss. Go ahead.
Well, I like Wichita State. They were pathetic at the beginning of last year. They lost, I think, you know, 11 starters or something like that from the year before. It wasn't 11, but it was – if you were allowed to start 11 players, I think all 11 would have left. They were really bad in the first half of the season, but they finished really strong. They had a really like good run in the conference tournament. They have the majority of that back.
Other than Marquise McDuffie, but go ahead.
Yeah, other than him. Now, but again, I think that we're going to see – I mean, we've seen it from Wichita before, albeit not last year, where guys kind of step up. I kind of think that they're maybe not back in the top 25 and maybe not even back in the top half of the bracket, but I think they're back inside the bubble this year.
It wasn't so much that they were bad as they were young, because I think they had seven freshmen at one point.
Yeah, I think they started 37 freshmen or something like that.
Well, I want to discuss a couple other teams. Stalica, let me start with you here. Another team that was in the NCAA tournament last year out of this conference was Central Florida. Any chance that there's anything left here? Because they had a lot of losses off of that team.
BJ Taylor, Aubrey Dawkins, Taco Fall, they are not walking through that door, so it's going to be reload time for the Knights.
Tytel, Temple also made the tournament last year, and Aaron McKee now coming in as new head coach. Any chance they make some noise?
I wish, because I do like anybody associated with Fran Dunphy, as McKee has served as his assistant for the past few years. I just think that I think if they were in a lower major conference, this could be an interesting little team. I think that there's enough talent in the American that Temple's going to be looking up. I mean, they played Belmont tough, but I don't think they're going to do it again.
David, the very last season in the American for the UConn Huskies, any chance they make some noise on their way out the door heading to the Big East next year?
Yeah, there's a chance. I mean, I don't have them high on my list, but they're well coached. I think they'll certainly be better than they were a year ago, but are they good enough to get inside the bubble? I don't think they're quite there yet.
Right. I mean, they were sub 500 last year. That was with Shiz Alston, and he's gone now. So I'm not, I don't know that I see it there. A couple other teams to mention real quickly here. Stalica, SMU finally has full amount of scholarships after all the Larry Brown sanctions are gone, but any chance they make any noise?
Well, they have the full amount of scholarships. They're also done with their probation, but this is not going to be the year for that for them to be rebounding.
We have Ron Hunter coming into Tulane, Tytel.
Yes, we do. Ron Hunter, the biggest thing to hit New Orleans since New Orleans hit New Orleans. Ron Hunter comes to town, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway.
And my thoughts on Ron Hunter are I'm glad that he's there. I don't think he's going to have enough to lead his boys back to the NIT like they made last year before losing to Colorado in the second round. I like the sleeper, I think, is the transfer from Kansas, KJ Lawson, who is no stranger to this conference, I believe, having started his career at Memphis.
Right.
Is the 2017 Conference Rookie of the Year. His brother is off to pro basketball, but KJ somehow had some eligibility left and is in a conference that he knows about because he played there. So very interested to see how he fits in.
David, no, you've always been a huge Tulsa fan.
Yes, Frank Haith is making his presence felt there.
You know what? That he always finds a way to win a few surprising games during the course of the season. So
yeah, he does. I bet. Well, his team might be better than Tulane's, but his coaching ability is not better.
Finally, Stalica, East Carolina is in the American Athletic Conference as well, correct?
Yes, they had one shining moment where they beat Cincinnati last year and sent Mick Cronin packing out west.
Yes. I do find it interesting. They have three newcomers who are 7 feet tall. So there's a ton of size on this team, but I don't know that it has the talent to compete with the rest of the conference.
Right.
On that note, though, what I want to do is run through each of you for any other thoughts you may have on the American. And can you also tell me, while doing so, how many teams do make the NCAA tournament from this league? Stalica, let me start with you.
I'm not going to go true American power by saying six, but I actually do think they have a good shot at four bids this year with Memphis, Houston, Cincinnati, and Wichita State leading the way.
Tytel, you agree with that?
I'm going to set the over-under on tournament teams at 3.5, and I will take the under of 3. I think Houston, Cincy, and maybe South Florida, if my dream comes true, will work out. As far as a final thought on the American, I hope people don't sleep on James Wiseman. It's great that Hardaway's bringing in these All-Americans. Wiseman seems like the real deal. This isn't a guy who, like, only plays basketball. He studied Mandarin Chinese for 3 years in high school. He also played for Hardaway both in AAU ball and as a high school player. So it should be an easier adjustment for him going to college. It's not like the coach is unaware of his skill set. The coach has worked with him for multiple years over the past few years. Additionally, he's not just a dunker. He's not just an offensive guy. He blocks a lot of shots, well over 5 a game in high school. But I think he can impact games on both the offensive and defensive ends of the court.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a real interesting and fun Memphis team to watch this year, whether they win games or not. I'm kind of right with you on that 3.5. I think Houston, Memphis, and Cincinnati are going to be tournament teams. And I'm kind of with you on South Florida if we get that fourth team. I like them better than Wichita.
I'm
with you.
I'm pulling for them. I think that would be tremendously exciting if they were able to get in.
David, you want to finish us off?
Yeah. For starters, I know that I'm going to say this about another league that's down there, maybe even one or two more. I really enjoy watching this league. Is it as good as the power conferences on a regular basis? No. But is it routinely as good or better than some of them? Yes. And it wouldn't shock me if they outperform one or two of the power leagues this year. Again, I really like this Houston team, not just this year, but their program in general. I think Cincinnati does bounce back under Brandon, despite the question marks we've had. I think Wichita State's back, and I really like Memphis with their loaded talent. But it is a high caliber of basketball. It's a lot of schools in urban areas with big fan bases. It's a fun league. And then, you know, maybe not so much at the bottom. The floor is a little lower than what your typical power conferences is, but the top is right there. And don't, I mean, you don't want to overlook this guy either. I think we're going to see great things out of him this year, and that is Mountain McGillivray.
Mountain.
Yes.
Okay.
We saw things out of Handy last year. We will see great things out of Mountain this year.
All right, everybody. I guess on that note, whatever the heck that was, I do want to thank you for joining us for this preview. Like we said before, right down below us, you can watch the Atlantic 10 coming up next. And below that, there's a few more podcasts. But on behalf of David Griggs, John Salica, John Titel, I'm Chad Sherwood, and we'll talk to you again real soon.